In Revelation 13, 16 through 17, it speaks of a day where you will not be able to buy, you will not be able to sell, save you have the mark of the beast, right? Yet we're in a day and age in 2024 where you see individuals that they will pledge their allegiance to a party in hopes that this party can be the one to set them free from the dystopia that we're living in today.
Two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed, trampling on our way of life.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight to officially nominate Kamala Harris for president. 5 July, another round of shots. DNC, turn out for what?
In the Democratic National Convention, I caught some of the highlights as it was being streamed right here on YouTube, and I tuned in exactly in the part where people were booing against banning abortions.
A national anti-abortion coordinator and forced states to report on women's miscarriages and abortions. Simply put, they are out of their minds. Why exactly is it that they don't trust women? Well, we trust women. We trust women.
It's amazing to me how, when it comes to being a minority, I am a Puerto Rican, what you would call a minority in this country, how easily and gullible people can be. Here you have Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger, who has very deep ties to the Democratic Party and still does with Planned Parenthood. A quote attributed to her on December 10th, 1939. "We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." In 1947, in an interview with John Parsons, "But for my view, I believe there should be no more babies."
But for my view, I believe that there should be no more babies. I believe that there should be no more babies.
The Mike Wallace Interview. In the eyes of some, Margaret Sanger has been a heroine. In the eyes of others, she's been a destructive force.
In her own words, Sanger pushed for a society that limited births to those she deemed fit to have children.
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just mark when they're born.
In 1916, Sanger opened the country's first birth control clinic. As a member of the American Eugenics Society, she advocated improving the genetic composition of humans through controlled reproduction of different races and classes. She often wrote about the issue in the journal she founded, called the Birth Control Review. In 1919, writing,
"I personally believe in the sterilization of the feeble-minded, the insane, and the syphilitic. The most urgent problem today is how to limit and discourage the over-fertility of the mentally and physically defective."
Many point to a 1923 New York Times interview as proof of Sanger's racist motives, in which she referred to people as weeds, saying,
"It means the release and cultivation of the better racial elements in our society and the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extirpation of defective stocks, those human weeds which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization."
In March 27, 1934, in an article that she was interviewed for, she actually stated, "No woman shall have the legal right to bear a child, and no man shall have the right to become a father without a permit for parenthood." Folks, this may sound like a dystopia, but what they are unveiling is right before your very eyes. Yet the people here are booing against abortion bans. And many of these people in the Democratic National Conventions, like Steph Curry as an example, claim to be Christians. These are people that will throw a little hallelujah. Let's put a little scripture on my sneaker that I'm selling.
What's up, everybody? Stephen Curry here. I know you all know I played for the Golden State Warriors, but man, what a great honor it was to represent Team USA and go out there and win that gold medal at the Olympics this summer. And that unity on and off the court reminded us all that together we can do all things and continue to inspire the world. That's why I believe that Kamala, as president, could bring that unity back and continue to move our country forward. This is about preserving hope and belief in our country, making sure families can be taken care of during the most precious times. I got to visit Kamala with my team in the White House last year, and I can tell you one thing I knew then, and I definitely know now. The Oval Office suits her well. So in the words of Michelle Obama, do something. Go vote. Be active. Let's show out in November like never before. It's been an honor for me to represent our country. It's an honor to support Kamala. So let's all do our part. God bless.
Yet it's baffling to me, as someone who doesn't vote, mind you, because I stay outside of the political realm, and I've talked about Trump himself as well. So don't think that I haven't talked about that party as well. However, it's baffling to me for someone who says they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to support a candidate that's telling you clearly that she wants to abort children. Not only that, but most of these abortion clinics, they're strategically placed in impoverished areas, in low-income white neighborhoods, in low-income black neighborhoods, in low-income Hispanic neighborhoods. I drive by them all the time with billboards telling you, are you pregnant? Come and talk to us. Isn't it amazing how to adopt a child you have to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars? But the dystopia that we live in allows you to abort a child for free almost. I don't understand how we got to this point, but look at the people cheer.
Well, we trust women. We trust women. And when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law.
Instead of us placing our trust in the King of Kings, we're placing our trust in men and in women who are always lying and deceiving us in humanity. Kamala begins to tell you how she's going to do this, she's going to do that. Give her a chance and she's going to fix everything. She's been in the White House for 4 years. What is she going to fix? The problem she created? Yet the people are cheering. And you know why people cheer? Is because this dystopian world, whether it's socialist or capitalist, they both have a version of a new world order that they want to sell you. I come from Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico, I saw this firsthand, how the sterilization of the Puerto Rican and indigenous people in our island took place. I saw it firsthand.
January 24, 1958. The New York Times reported today that Puerto Rico's birth rate is decreasing as a result of the continuing heavy rate of female sterilizations and the migration of young people to the mainland. The rate of sterilization ranges from 10% to 42%. 42% of the women working in one factory outside San Juan were found to have been sterilized.
By 1937, unemployment had reached 37%. The Puerto Rican people, now landless, jobless, and uprooted, became what the planners called excess population. The North American governor, Blanton Winship, approved in 1937 Law Number 136, legalizing sterilization. Based on the principles of eugenics, which advocated the breeding of the fit and the weeding out of the unfit, namely the poor and non-white. These laws came, in Winship's words, to fill the urgent need to to avoid the menace of the ever-growing population.
The government and the dystopias in this world, they're not going to come at you as the devil that they are. They're going to come at you as an angel of light. So they will tell you as a minority, as someone who's struggling financially, I'll give you more food stamps. As a mother who has two or three children and you're struggling, I'll give you Section 8. As someone who's going through something, they will come as the savior. And remember that you're going through many of these things because of the problems that they have created. So they create a financial instability in this world. Then they come to you and they tell you that they want to be the answer to the financial instability. But then what happens is you become a slave to their system. You know, Pruitt-Igoe, I don't know if you've heard of it, it was a perfect example of a utopia created and it turned downhill real fast. Many of these things are low-key experiments to prepare you for what they really do have, a modern-day Tower of Babel that's being prepared for you. Check out Pruitt-Igoe.
These developments are run by the St. Louis Housing Authority. This is a far cry from the crowded, collapsing tenements that many of these people have known. Here in bright new buildings with spacious grounds, they can live.
It was a very beautiful place, like a big hotel resort, I'd say.
It was like an oasis in the desert. All this newness. I never thought I would live in that kind of a surrounding.
What happened?
Well, one day we woke up and it was all gone.
We pulled up with the moving van. I knew at that point that it was hell on earth.
Pruitt-Igoe looks like a battleground. Vandalism and neglect have left fear among the remaining occupants.
In the middle 50s, St. Louis thought it had solved its low-cost housing need. But instead, a monster was created.
The experiment had gone terribly awry. It was just uncontrollable.
Is such a symbol that we tend to forget that it is no different than the city that surrounded it. What happened to St. Louis was tragic, but that's simply not how we've told the story.
Pruitt-Igoe was always fighting against this terrible riptide of destruction in the midst of an economy that was dying.
The strong, tightly-knit communities and families in which I grew up had begun to shatter, and it wasn't there. And it was one of the most tragic things I've seen.
It seemed to me that we were being penalized for being poor. That caused so much anger.
Persons that don't have a decent place to stay are willing to take these kinds of chances. While we live, we're taking chances.
This is it. This is out of control, and we are no longer going to put up with it. We're not going to tolerate this anymore.
I said, as tenants, we've got to draw a line and say no more. No
In Revelation 18:4, it tells us, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and yet ye receive not of her plagues. Listen, I've taken food stamps in my life, but my desire was to get out of them at some point in time or another. Food stamps is something there to be able to help. We're all there to help each other. We've all gone through a moment of struggle. But do you know that for many women who take Section 8, at least in Puerto Rico, when they do the inspections, if they catch you with a good man in your house, they will take it away. So it's not promoted for you to find the good man to raise your children. It's essentially encouraged for you to have side pieces left and right with no good example in your home, because the government won't pay your rent if they know that there's a gentleman in there that, hey, he's bringing a little bit of income. Now we're not going to pay your rent. So it puts a woman in a position that she has to pick food stamps, roof over my head, or a good man to raise my child. And sadly, what's happened, at least in the island of Puerto Rico, and what's happened across all United States of America, is that a lot of people have chosen a choice that we can see the results here today. In Pruitt-Igoe, you saw the results. And you're not going to see the results right away, but you see it throughout the generations when children are growing up fatherless, when the family nucleus is being destroyed. And slowly but surely, but surely, but surely, but surely, you begin to see that the dystopia and their plans become unveiled before your very eyes with universal basic income, which is rolling out right now. You see, what you once saw in the projects, what you once saw in Section 8, you're now going to see it for the common day, everyday American, because we're now all feeling the struggles of trying to go grocery shopping and finding ourselves super tight. We're all gonna feel it. You no longer will have to live in the projects to understand that Big Brother and the government will want to be there to solve your need. They have conducted experiments. They have gotten very good at getting humanity comfortable on depending on the government, Republicans and Democrats alike. As you can see in that mouse utopia experiment, we are experiencing the same thing in our very day and modern day and age.
This is the terrifying story of an apocalyptic experiment of a paradise that turned into hell. The experiment name is Universe 25. Why 25? Because animal behaviorist John Calhoun applied the same experiment 25 times, changing some points, and in the 25th trial, he created the most perfect universe for mice with beautiful buildings and limitless food, and then he introduced 8 mice to the population. 2 years later, the mice had created their own apocalypse. Universe 25 was a giant box designed to be a rotten utopia. The trouble was, this utopia did not have a benevolent creator. John B. Calhoun had designed quite a few mouse environments before he got to the 25th one, and didn't expect to be watching a happy story. Divided into main squares and then subdivided into levels, with ramps going up to apartments, the place looked great, and was always kept stocked with food, but its inhabitants were doomed from the get-go. Universe 25 started out with 8 mice, 4 males and 4 females. By day 560, the mouse population reached 2,200, and then steadily declined back down to unrecoverable extinction. At the peak population, most mice spent every living second in the company of hundreds of other mice. They gathered in the main squares, waiting to be fed and occasionally attacking each other. Few females carried pregnancies to term, and the ones that did seemed to simply forget about their babies.
You know, in 1865, when slavery was abolished in America, right? That's the year that everyone says it was. A new financial form of slavery was instituted. It's no longer the white man. It's no longer the black man. It's no longer the Puerto Rican. It's no longer the Mexican, the Chinese, or the Indian. It is a financial slavery in this world. Even if you own your own property right now and it's paid off, if you don't pay your taxes, what happens to it? You know what happens to it. This is why I encourage all of you, my family in the Lord, place your eyesight upon Jesus Christ. These people, whether Democrat or Republican, they're very good at telling you what they're gonna do for you. And every 4 years, people place their trust on these people. Because they're hoping for a miracle. They're hoping for a change. My best advice is, place your eyesight on the kingdom of above. God tells you very clearly in his scripture to come out from among her, my people. It's wise advice, okay? It's wise advice. Better is little with the Lord than for you to find yourself with a lot of earthly goods, a lot of earthly supplements, but be in a position that the dystopia all around us controls everything that you do. Because once universal basic income and transhumanism starts to kick in and starts to rise and AI begins its battle against humanity, you no longer have to look at the myth of Pruitt-Igoe. You're not going to have to look at the La Operación in Puerto Rico when they sterilized all those women. Section 8 projects. You no longer have to look at that. No, now it's your common day person that you see in the middle of the street that can't afford groceries, that is being displaced because a new economy of the Antichrist is rising. And now you're going to see that they're going to bring a solution to the problem that they created, and universal basic income will track everything you buy, everything you sell, everything you trade. With AI, quantum computing, blockchain technology, the stage is being set. And no, I am not saying that that's the mark of the beast. Well, what I am telling you is that the stage is being set. And I hope that we learn from history, because it takes generations for these changes to happen. And I hope that we've learned to understand that in Revelation 13, 16 through 17, whether it's talking about a historical event with Nero, then learned what happened in the times of Nero. What did he do? Control financials of the people. Learn from Genesis 11, the tower when it was being built. What did Nimrod do? Offered them peace and security and rebelling against God. Let me tell you something, family. We have to depend on God more than man. Do you know the freedom? Glory to Jesus Christ. I say this, glory to Jesus Christ. The freedom that I feel that I can pick up this microphone to be able to speak what I want to speak. Do you think I could do that if I had sponsors? Do you think I could do that if this channel was monetized? Sure, I would have a little bit of extra income. Sure, you know, we could say, hey, we're set up for retirement. You know, all of the earthly things that cross your mind, but those are deceptions. We are to be about the Father's business. And if the Father's business is to reach the harvest, my family member in Christ, for His glory, by His power, by His grace, may we choose this day whom we will serve. Because as you can see in the Democratic National Convention, it's a lot of deception. And the same thing in the Republican one too. Last time I checked, it was Trump who gave me the 15 days to stop the spread, 30 days to stop the spread, 90 days to stop the spread, and then Operation Warp Speed. Let me tell you something about all of these people. These people will tell you what you want to hear. But at the end of the day, if a mark of the beast was instituted, do you think that a Republican or a Democrat would help you? No. This is why the scriptures tell you, come out from among her, my people. The sooner our dependence is placed upon Christ, the faster we're going to be in a position to get ready and prepared for what's coming to this earth. I love you guys very much. May we continue to seek the kingdom of God. Do not allow all of these politics and the season that we're in to distract you from the harvest that needs to be reached. The harvest is plentiful. Far too many are going to be distracted in this season. May Jesus help us all. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day for us to come together to talk things through. Thank you for these awesome brothers and sisters that took up their time to view this video. Thank you for their kindness. Thank you for them even taking of a second. Father, whatever they're going through in this life and in this world, the spirit of fear is working overtime at intimidating us and causing us extra worry and extra panic. And then here comes the dystopian antichrist governments of this world to give us a solution and give us this world's version of peace. But the peace that you give us is different than the peace that this world gives us. The peace that you give us surpasses all understanding. May they leave refreshed, renewed, and refocused on your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Just wanted to say thank you for you taking up your time to pass on by. Would you mind doing me a huge favor? Can you press a thumbs up button and share these videos? As a non-monetized channel, you have no idea how much this helps this channel. And same with other channels that are non-monetized. It really helps them a lot. Also, thanks for those that are considering supporting this channel and this ministry. Really appreciate it. And consider subscribing. Press the subscribe button and hit the notification bell for all notifications. We have various uploads on this channel. Plus, another thing that we have, another feature. Many channels have something called Patreon or a join button for a community where they have extra content for you. Well, on this channel, one of the things we've decided to do for the glory of Jesus Christ is just to provide all you that for free. So we have a fellowship channel, a secondary channel that has weekly devotionals, live services on Wednesdays and on the Sabbath as well. It's free, doesn't cost you a penny. I'm going to leave an example of our Sabbath service on the screen right now. You're invited. It's free, doesn't cost you a penny. And I would love to talk to you guys on Zoom through that channel as well. God bless you. Stay focused on Jesus and have a blessed day.